Podcast
Uncommonly Common, where you get to see how uncommonly common we are together.
So this is episode 2 and
welcome back.
Yeah. I feel great, honestly. The first episode was like a lot of work, but how do you feel, like, with the first episode being out and the clips and everything? Like, how do you feel,
guys? I was so nervous and excited and anxious and everything in between. But as you know, the first step or the first of anything is always the hardest. And we've been very thankful for everyone that has, you know, watched, taken the time to watch and listen and, give us feedback and also, you know, following us on Instagram and all our, you know, different social media, commenting. We absolutely love when you guys comment. I'm stoked. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just excited that you're excited, because when I started doing it, I was like, I was editing this and I'm like, this is coming out so good, but if she doesn't like it, it's gonna suck. And I don't know. I just got excited. I love the editing part of it. It's so much fun. If you hear sound effects, it's because we got a soundboard for the producer, and she's having a blast. And so she's just having a blast. But she's just practicing, and it's dope. I thought you were gonna press one. But yeah,
we've been talking every single day.
Yes,
and I'm not an emotional person. Not emotional, but I'm either like 0 or 100. So sometimes I'll explain, like, I really like it. And he'll be like, okay, but do you really like it or do you just like it? And I'm like, okay, I really, really, really like it. Like, so honestly, guys, we're putting our heart and soul into this.
Yeah, a lot of effort.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Almost 2 weeks has passed. And we feel like so much has happened in the past 2 weeks.
A lot.
I don't know if you want to talk about...
Oh, the Spartan race?
The Spartan.
Oh, yeah. So we did the Spartan race yesterday, and it was pretty dope. It was dope. It was dope because, like, I did it with my wife and our friends. But just, like, 2 years ago, I did it by myself, and it was me and two other friends who were, like, they're kind of active, but it was fun with them. But my wife was kind of watching on the sidelines. And doing it with my wife yesterday, it was just... so cool, because I didn't think she was going to be able to do a lot of the obstacles, but seeing her pick up like these 60 pound like balls and like this sand and just fighting 60? Through it. Yeah.
Dang,
it was impressive. I was like, wow, she, like, the first hurdle that she had to jump up was like 4 feet, and she like jumped over the hurdle, and then she did another 6 foot, and I'm like, oh, wow. Like, she was
Spider-Man.
She was impressing. it was just so dope to see her do all this that I didn't think she would be able to do, like, without my help. And she was doing it. She was killing it. And then the run. And I'm just, I love it.
Are you sore? How are you feeling today?
I feel great.
Yeah.
Because I did 6 miles on Thursday. And then Friday I did six miles.
We have a runner here.
Yeah, so I did 6 miles on Friday. And then Saturday I had the race, which is 3 miles. And then we did an extra mile after it. Because they give you the option. Once you finish across the finish line, they're like, oh, do you want to do an extra mile? And I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? What do I get? And they're like, you get a prize. And I'm like, okay. So we do the extra mile, and then when you come back, they give you a little chip token.
Okay.
And so you take the token, and they like, take it over there to that booth. I take it to the booth, and they give us a pin. They gave us one pin that says you completed 1 mile, and I'm like, this is great. But I thought they were gonna give me something else, like an extra shirt or something. I don't know. But it was just a pin.
Not even a drink?
No, they'll give you a free drink already for completing the race.
But like a drink? Yeah.
No. Well, they give you like this, which is weird. They give you like a tequila seltzer that they're like promoting.
Oh, wow.
And then they gave us another company. It's called Rain, which is, it tastes good. It was
like
just
a pre-workout? Yeah.
It was like a post. It was like BCAAs.
Oh,
And what else was it? It was something else. It had a bunch of things in this that like
help
amino acids.
Recover.
Yeah, help you recover. And it was good. I'm not used to fruity drinks. I don't really like drinks. Like the thing you got me today,
I was going to say, I went to go get some coffee. And he's like, I'll have the dragon fruit lemonade. Yeah.
I don't know. You were asking, but I don't. That's the only thing that I can maybe, because I love mango. So yeah. I don't really think of like, if it has my favorite fruit, I'll maybe drink it. But I grew up on water. Like I only drink water. So
not even coffee.
No, I can't drink coffee. Well, I've never drank it. Like I've seen people drink it and I smelled it. It smells good.
You've never had coffee
at never, all? Ever. Like ever.
This makes a lot of sense.
But I've never
I've heard only psychopaths don't drink coffee.
I think it's like, I don't know. It started because my parents never gave it. Like we're Colombian and they drink a lot of coffee, mm-hmm. but they drink it black. And they said, oh, you're a kid. You can't. It's not healthy for you. And so I never had it. And then I think it was fifth grade, I was supposed to do a science experiment. And then my science experiment, what were the effects of caffeine on your bones? Mm. And then I saw how bad it was. I'm like, I'm never drinking caffeine. I'm never drinking coffee. So I don't drink Coca-Cola. I don't drink sodas. I don't drink anything with caffeine. Like the closest thing I can maybe have is if I'm going to take like a road trip, I'll have Celsius because it has caffeine and it'll keep me awake.
Yeah.
But that's like once every 10 years. The last time I did it was like the time I drove to Oklahoma. But other than that, I would not.
What about like the five-hour energy?
No, I've heard that's like super bad for your heart. So
yeah, I've never had it. But
yeah, no, I've never had that. When I used to drink a lot of Red Bull because Red Bull gives it's like a weird flavor. But it has a weird flavor that tastes good with like tequila or with vodka. Yeah. Like vodka Red Bull, like it just tastes very. It's tasty and nothing really tastes like Red Bull. It's just Red Bull. So. That has a lot of caffeine.
I'll say I don't really drink. Well, now I don't. But I've actually drank a lot of Red Bull before.
I got it from you. Like, no, because you were like, one day I was like, I don't want to drink gin. And my gin was I drink. And you're like, yeah. Oh, just try vodka Red Bull or tequila Red Bull. Tequila and I was like, fuck, I'll try it. And then I tried it and I liked it because it gives you like literally wings. Like you're like on it and you're on a mission and I like it.
It's like tequila and then Red Bull. Yeah. You just stay like this.
Yeah. What do you think are the healthiest fruits? If you were to say... Like the top three healthiest fruits.
I don't know. I feel like maybe strawberry.
No. Papaya. Nope. So that like I read it online and the top three healthiest fruits are, what is it? It was blueberries, sense. Pomegranate. Okay. And blueberries, pomegranate, and cherries.
Oh.
Yeah. And then there's more.
Why cherries?
I don't know. It was on there. And then underneath that, there was avocado.
Okay.
And so those are like the top four, but like those are the top healthiest fruit. And I heard that blackberries are very, very healthy. Good. Almost all berries are pretty healthy.
Yeah.
But what are your favorite fruits?
I really like vanilla. I mean, vanilla.
Girl, you, this girl said vanilla.
I really like, guys, sorry, I'm really tired. Pineapple. Yeah.
Pineapple.
That's probably my favorite.
Yeah.
That I can eat anytime.
That's your favorite fruit, yeah?
Yeah.
My favorite fruit is mango, pears, and definitely strawberries.
Yeah, I feel like mangoes too. Mangoes are good.
And it's mango season. Mango season is coming up in Miami. There's a thing in Miami where like there's a bunch of mango trees all over like North Miami Beach, North Miami.
Don't tell them Alabama. Where.
And so
there's a shortage on mangoes. Yeah.
And there's gonna be a bunch of mangoes coming up soon, and they're the best mangoes. But I like the round ones. I don't like the long ones.
Oh yeah, same.
Like the round ones.
Yeah, same, yeah.
And I like them. I don't know if you like them, but I like mangoes that are like not red, yellowish green, like in the middle.
So they're more like sour.
They're sour and sweet. Like okay. I don't like it red because then it's too juicy and. I like it when it's like harder and that's what she said. But I like it when it's like yellowish because then you could put like salt on it and it tastes fire.
And tahini.
Yes. Yeah.
That sounds good.
But that's my favorite fruit.
I'm going to add that to my Instacart.
Somebody tried to hack my Instacart. Literally. I don't even use it. But I got an email like last Friday. I mean, this Friday they were like, are you trying to change your password? And I'm like, no. And then I got another one. This is your password code. And then I was like, oh, I never asked for a password code. And then they sent me another email. Oh, your account's been
blocked
suspended. Suspended for security reasons. I'm like, okay, I guess somebody's trying to hack into my Instacart. I don't know what information they can get on there. Oh my God, on that subject, my mom, 2019, she was like, my phone is hacked. And I'm like, no, it's not. Like, you're just being psychotic. And then we go to San Diego to visit my sister, and she's like, Danny, my phone is hacked. And I'm like, no, it's not. And then one day I'm like on her phone, like sending her a Zelle, like sending myself a Zelle because I sent her money by accident. And then I go on her phone, and like when I opened it, I like swiped up and I saw there was an app open of an African American, like some guy watching. Yes, there was some guy watching. Yeah, watching.
You scared me.
Yeah, watching. And I'm like, and then like I opened it and like the person saw it and he like turned it around. And I'm like, what the hell? And so I didn't know what app it was. So I opened the app that was like
open.
Yeah. And it was like some weird, like, what's it called? It was like a spam app that like just shows you everything that the person is doing on their phone. Mm. So this person had just been watching my mom for like God knows how long.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So then what?
I ended up just like clearing her whole phone, deleting everything, and then restarting her, rebooting her phone. Everything that I had to do to like make sure that there was nothing on that phone that wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah.
But now my mom texts me like every other day with messages that she gets from like actual important messages, like from Chase or Wells Fargo, like,
is this spam?
And she's like, is this real? And I'm like, yes, mom. And then sometimes it's not real. I'm like, no, it's not real. And now my dad does the same thing.
Oh no.
My dad will send me like, is this real? And I'm like, no, it's not real. Stop. If there's, I'm like, if somebody's offering you money, it's fake.
It's fake. Like,
they're, it's, don't worry about it. He's like, yeah, but it's the government. I'm like, no, it's not the government. If the government wants anything from you, they'll find you and they'll send you a mail. They'll send you a mail or knock on your door. But other than that, they're not going to send you money over the phone. Yeah, a text.
I know someone that I don't remember exactly the story, but they were saying that they needed to pay like because of taxes or something like that, something very important that they needed to pay a certain amount of money, but the money needed to be paid through gift cards.
That's weird.
But the person like was almost doing it, like,
oh.
There was one time that we went to Brazil and I think our dog was really sick, so I had to come back earlier while my family stayed. So I went to the airport by myself, and since I had an iPhone, I only had service when I would connect to the Wi-Fi, mm-hmm. to internet. So while going through like the TSA and everything, I didn't have my phone. My phone wasn't working. I didn't have internet. So once I get into my gate and I connected to Wi-Fi and everything, my phone started blowing up. I call, my dad was calling me, texting me. I call him back. He's like, Steffi, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. Like, what's wrong? They're like, oh, as soon as we, like 10 minutes after we dropped you off, someone called saying that they had you. And it was a girl saying like, Dad, please help me. Please help me.
Oh my God.
And they were asking for money. So we weren't sure if someone took you. No, it was crazy.
That's wild.
I'm like, meanwhile, I'm like there with like my little like book bag. I'm like going back to the U.S. I'm like, no, fine.
That's wild. That's extreme.
We also know someone also. I think that in Brazil also they claimed that he was like kidnapped and asked for money.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's a really delicate subject because it's like it's happening a lot in Miami. Like sex trafficking is real. I didn't think that it was something. I thought it was something from the movies and stuff, especially like in a country like the US where there is a lot of law enforcement, but there's a lot of sex trafficking. And I have a friend who she went to, this is crazy. She was on, you know, 163rd?
Mm-hmm.
You know the La Granja that's there?
Yeah.
In front of that La Granja, there is like a Valero. There's a gas station.
Yeah, the gas station.
And so she went to go put gas, and it wasn't even that late. I think it was like 12:45, like almost 1 o'clock in the morning. And she was getting out of work. She put gas in the car, and then a car pulled up to her, like on the, you know how there's like gas station. There's like pump.
Yeah.
So she was on one pump, and the car pulled up to that next to that pump, opened up the trunk. Yeah. And she sees this, and two guys try to go get her. They grab her, and they throw her in the car.
No.
Yeah. If it wasn't for the Indian guy that was inside, that was owner, or I don't know if he was,
yeah,
he was working at the,
yeah,
at the gas station, who comes out with like a weapon.
Oh shoot.
Bro, the guy saw him,
and saw, then threw her.
And they just started driving away, and she was able to jump out because they just didn't close the trunk.
Oh
They saw the guy, they got in the car and they started driving away, and the girl just fell out of the car.
Holy crap.
And so it's like, it's what happens if that guy wasn't there? Like, you never see this girl ever again. And like, it's sad because they probably like, they'll just probably like get her on some drug and get her addicted and then get her to a point where she doesn't even remember her own name. And then
it's a rabbit hole.
Yeah, it's sad. So if you're in Miami or if you're in any major city, just be careful. Like, always look around, like look your surroundings. Like when I like, not to be like, I don't know if this is misogynistic or like, I don't know, but just, I don't even let my wife go get gas.
Yeah.
Just because I don't feel safe. I'd rather just put gas myself and then she can drive her car. Like, it's her car, but I'll put gas in her car because I don't want her to, I don't reducing the risk.
Yeah. Being more mindful to doing certain things. I travel here and there, and whenever we go to like a big city, I try not to go out by myself. Like, cause sometimes I'll wake up earlier to go and like get coffee or whatever. Yeah. But I notice in airports, in big cities, in the bathroom, there's always signs like sex trafficking. Be careful.
Even here, you see the sex trafficking advertising, and I'm like, what is this such a big issue? And it is. What do you think about these like polygamous relationships? Because now it's not monogamy. It's just polyamorous. People are dating other people or people have these open relationships, and it's very different. And I'm not sure if it's because of where we are in the world, if it's something that's happening in Miami.
Yeah.
Or if it's just people our age are going through this, or I don't know if you've seen this. I don't know if this is common, but the fact that there was two couples in the party that we were at that were in full-blown relationships with other people.
Openly.
And it wasn't, like, just one. It was two different couples in that party. So it's more common than I thought it was.
Yeah.
And I've seen it on TikTok, and I'm just like, I don't believe in it. It's just that for me personally, what I want for my life and for my relationship, I want a monogamous relationship, right? Yeah. I expect to be with my wife for the rest of my life. And I'm not sure if it's because I grew up with a family where my parents have been together and then my grandparents were together, and then it's just a Colombian thing.
Yeah.
Not a Colombian thing, but maybe a Latin thing. But I started to notice that, like, it was crazy because they were in full relationships. It's like the guy was dating the girl and the guy was also married to his wife. And
so when they went to the party, were they with the wife or with the girlfriend?
Both.
Both?
Yeah. And they were holding hands. And they were kissing, like the guy was kissing his wife and the guy was kissing his girlfriend. And it's so different.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I was just, it's interesting. And I was shocked because I was just like, when did this happen? How did this happen? How do you get to this point? Right. And I don't like to pry into people's relationships. So I didn't ask them. I just acknowledged it. And I was like, good for you. Like, if it works for you, but I just didn't pry. Cause I don't, that's their thing. That's, and if it's working business, for them, it works for them. Right.
Yeah.
But have you seen it, or have you ever seen anything like that around? Do you know people that have?
I don't really know much people that are in pretty much like open relationship or have like a third person, at least not that I'm aware of. I remember when I was younger, there would be like certain bars that we would go to.
Yeah.
And
And
then we would like bump into like couples that were like
Red Bar. Specifically,
yeah.
a bar brickle.
But other than that, I don't really know a lot of people that have that situation going on. I mean, I can just imagine that maybe you're in a relationship with someone and, you know, you guys are good, but you live in somewhere like Miami or a big city and there's so many different people that you're meeting, and, you know, you're like, okay, like this could work. I love you and I want to be with you, but I also want to have the liberty or the freedom to also see what else is there, I guess.
Yeah.
But I like, don't worry because I'm still going back to you. I don't know. I don't really know anyone that's in that situation or has that type of relationship. For me, just like you, I think the way that I was raised and like, I mean, not that they were raised any differently, but for me, like how my relationship is, it's not like that.
Yeah. And it's funny because I was thinking about it today. I was like, how do you like, because you don't have the right over anybody, right? So even saying that, oh, this guy's sharing his wife, or this woman is sharing his husband, they're not yours to share, right? Yeah. They're their own person, so they can do whatever they want. But I've always believed in a monogamous relationship, and I think that when you're married, that's how I would want it for myself, right? Yeah. But if it's working for other people, then it
works.
To each their own, right?
Yeah.
But it just took me like I was
and
just,
having two couples at the party
that they were both in that situation.
Yeah,
is just wild because I never would have thought in a million years that's what I would see. Like that's something so different, and I've seen it a lot more. Like I've seen it at like regular clubs in Miami. Yeah. Like I'll go to like Dirty Rabbit or I'll go to El Patio and you'll see like a couple and they have like a third and they're just open about it and it works for them, right? But I think that juggling that is so...
I feel like that would be a lot of work.
It's a lot of work because just one person is already figuring out being with that person, living with that person, and then let alone having to do another human.
Yeah.
It's definitely to keep difficult. Up
and also, you know, validate one, not just one, but then two people's feelings, you know, make sure that they're okay. And I don't know. For me, I think it would be really hard. And it's like, who's more important? What if the third person, you end up liking them more, or caring about them more, or like, I don't know.
Yeah, so I definitely want to ask more questions to these people because I'm close to them. Like I guess I was close to them because I didn't know this, but I want to ask more questions about it because it is something that I would want to talk to about on the podcast. Because I mean, maybe the episode 3, I can be like, hey, this is how it works for them, just so that I mean, we kind of get our questions answered. But like I watched, what was it? I was watching somebody else's podcast and they spoke about it, and they said for them in their experience, they said that doing that was kind of like watching two different movies at the same time, where it's very difficult because if you're trying to watch two different movies at the same time,
where does your attention go?
Where do your attention go? What do you want to watch, right? So that was that person's experience. So I'm just curious of what it's like for other people, because to have two couples,
that sounds like a lot.
Two married couples that were going through the same situation and they're working through it is like the statistics is like there was like 8-9 married couples there and there was two. So two out of eight.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. And everybody else was monogamous, but that couple wasn't. So I mean, or those couples weren't. So it was just different. And I wanted to see what you thought about it. So that's good that you said that, because I think we're on the same page. And it's not that
not that it's wrong or right, or everyone has their own way of living their life.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't really know much people that are in that. I don't want to say situation, but have that lifestyle.
Yeah, and not that we're possessive, and that other people in monogamy, because people can be possessive. People can be like, oh, this is mine and you can't touch mine and I own this. But I feel like when you're in a relationship, monogamy isn't about possession, about owning the person. I think if you communicate and you communicate well enough, you could have a very happy relationship and you don't see the need for that. Yeah. Or maybe you do and it works for you. But like, that's what I wanted to shift on to after that. I wanted to talk about like, what do you think about open communication? Because I didn't understand this until I got married. Mm-hmm. And I got this from my dad and my mom. Like, they're very open when it comes to like talking about anything.
Yeah.
And I didn't see this because when I was dating before my wife, I was scared to open up about certain things. And so I think that with that world of having an open relationship, you also have to have open communication. But that's something that good that you should take, that you can take out of those experiences, right?
Yeah.
For your own monogamy, right? If I'm in with my wife, I want to be able to tell my wife whatever and not feel like, what is she going to say? Or what is she going to think? Is she going to judge me?
Yeah.
And so like, I'm not sure what you think about like if you're out, right? And you mention, oh, this guy's good looking or this girl's good looking. How would your fiance react? Or does it bother you? Because I do it with my wife. I'm like, oh, that girl's so good looking.
Yeah.
I'll be like, that guy's really good looking. and it doesn't affect us, like,
yeah,
like in the possession wise.
I think as long as it's in a respectful way, like, yeah, you know how your partner reacts and you know how you communicate to each other. So obviously, like, if we're out and we see someone, like, oh, like, even sometimes we'll be like, oh, we really love their outfit, and yeah, we'll go and, like, compliment them, like, that's totally fine. It's just, for me, I'm a big thing, like, big on respect and, like, how you say things,
how you approach it, yeah, too.
So for me, like, having an open communication and being able to speak freely in a friendship and in a relationship is extremely important.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to live my days in my life, this is the only life that I have, be scared or like
suppressing
walking,
yourself, suppressing, yeah, to what you want to say,
walking on eggshells, yeah, like nervous that person, like my fiance, will judge me or whatever the case is. Yeah, I for me, I'm communication, and I think it comes also with age and, yeah, with experience,
trial,
like, learning,
error.
Yeah, because I always say, like, we're not always going to look like this. Yeah. There's going to be a day that, you know, we're going to be old and gray, and what's going to be left is the relationship that, you know, you have with your spouse and your, yeah, partner, that friendship.
Yeah.
In the end.
Like, that's crazy you said that, because I thought about that when I was rollerblading. I was like, at the end of the day, like, having sexual chemistry is amazing with your wife. But what happens when that dies?
Yeah.
Like, what happens when you don't,
no,
you get to 80?
Not so much that, it fades in the sense, or you just get busy, or you end up having kids, or you have to travel, or for work, or, you know, like, life happens. And in the end, it's the life that you're building together and the friendship that you know, that you have.
But you shouldn't. So that's what I was getting at. So people think, that's why I meant die. So people think that when you get married, like, things have to change, and they shouldn't change, right?
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to feel, you like, if you're married, the reason I'm so happy in my marriage is because my wife has become more of my best friend. So, like, I can tell her anything, and she makes me laugh, and she's helping me be a better person, and I'm actively helping her be a better person.
Yeah.
And I'm actively still dating my wife, right? I'm still dating her. Like, just because people think that when they get to that marriage, that's like, I did it.
Yeah. And then
and
that's
I don't have to keep trying.
Yeah.
But that's not how it works. Like, you have to keep a balanced lifestyle where you, let me make this woman happy and let me keep doing it. Because, yeah, like, if you only got her roses just to court her and then get her to marry you, or if you only got her gifts or the whatever language that, yeah, you communicate in, you only did that for that purpose, then
what are you doing?
What are you doing, yeah, when you are married? Like, when you're married, like, if you don't keep doing that, then people lose interest. And then they think that the love dies, but no, it's just that your intention and your effort died, and that way that just turns into, like, no love.
Yeah, I think it's extremely important. I think when it comes to marriage, it's a decision that you have to do. You know, you have to make every single day. You have to wake up, and there's days that are good, there's days that are bad, there's days that are so-so, and you have to kind of wake up and be like, okay, today I'm choosing to love this person. Today I'm choosing to forgive this person. Today I'm choosing to have patience.
Yeah.
You know, it's an everyday decision that we have to make. And I mean, it's not easy. If it was easy, I feel like everyone would be in a relationship. Everyone would be married, but it takes a lot of commitment, and you go through the good and the bad. And, you know, obviously you don't want to stay in a toxic or terrible relationship that someone doesn't value you. But if you love the person, like, and you know that they love coffee, what is it going to take for you to make that cup of coffee,
yeah,
for
learn
them
to make coffee?
Yeah, you know, things like, yeah, that. I think that that's really important, because if you have that done to you, you'll love it. You'll, yeah, appreciate it. So why not do, you know, have it reciprocated?
Yeah.
I think that that's extremely important.
And that's why I wanted to kind of bring this up. So I'm going to look right at the camera. I heard a friend say, don't fake the funk, right? And I like that line so much. Shout out, Juliana. So don't fake the funk. I like it because the idea of faking, because this also ties into marriage and relationship. And when I say relationship, I don't mean just dating. I mean like friendships. I mean like people that you have work relationship with, your parents, your spouses, your siblings, anybody that you have a relationship with. When you're faking that, because I kind of took this from what she just said, don't fake the funk, right?
Yeah.
But I took that and I interpreted it, like I took it to another level because think about it. If you fake yourself, if you're trying to be somebody else, right? For the funk, which is whatever
whatever
situation you have with that person, if you're faking yourself, then not only are you faking who you are, but the funk that you think you have with that person is also fake.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to be somebody else, changing your way that you are to make friends with other people,
that's not going to last forever.
It's not going to last forever because you can't fake yourself forever.
Yeah.
When you get to 10 years down the line in a marriage and you've been not yourself, that funk or that love is not real because you start being your real self and then that funk is like, oh, I didn't like that person from the beginning.
Yeah. This is not who they are. Or you wake up and you're like, what? Who is this person?
Yeah.
Where did this person come from?
And you see it a lot with friends. Yeah. Like sometimes people kind of, we have a friend who told us that she does never want to see the people that she went to graduate school with. And I'm like, why? That she went to graduate school.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, why? And she's like, because when I was with them, I was trying to be this perfect like graduate student and it wasn't who I was. Like they didn't believe in like smoking weed. They didn't believe in like going out. They didn't believe in drinking like wine. They were just like going to school to be a doctor. And she felt like she wasn't being herself. So she felt she was like faking it. And now she's like so happy because she's being her real self. And she's like, I never want to see them ever again because I acted like different. I acted different, like somebody else. And I didn't even recognize myself. And her husband was like, yeah, like I didn't like them because you weren't being yourself. And that's what I wanted to talk about. Like if you fake the funk, like if you fake yourself, you're never going to get that love, the real love.
The real, And that's real connection.
Yeah. And that's why it's important to like, when you're dating somebody, don't jump into like, like trying to get married with them, because a lot of people think that marriage is the solution, right? They're like, oh, let me get, because I've seen a lot of friends that they're like, oh, let me get married, and I'm like, you guys aren't doing well.
Yeah,
and they're like, it's gonna fix all the problems, and I'm like, that's not how it works, because you're faking something to eventually get that prize or that connection, and then when you stop faking, then you lose it, and then you're kind of stuck.
Yeah, I think jumping into things doesn't resolve anything. Baking bread, you gotta, put all the ingredients together. You got the dry ingredients, you got the wet ingredients, you then put them together, then you let it sit, you gotta let it rise. And then after it's been risen, after how many hours, then you go and you cook it. But once you bake it, like you can't just go and bite into it, you gotta let it cool.
Yeah.
Like there's a process, and I feel like that's how relationship and friendships are. Like, Some relationships are not meant to be forever, and some friendships are not meant to be forever. And that's okay, but I don't think that you should pretend to be a certain way so that friendship can, or relationship has to can continue.
Yeah. And that has to do exactly what we were talking about the first episode, right? Why we thought Miami was, one of the things we didn't like about Miami was vanity, right?
Yeah.
And people being shallow. And that's something that people do hear a lot. They fake who they are to make people happy.
Yeah.
And then you kind of get down to like who they are as a person. And you're like, why are you acting this way? If you're such like, you're not this person. Way in real life. You're not like in around everybody else. And they're like, oh, it's just, I turn into somebody else when I'm out. And you're like, why? I have a friend that I'm like, she's so much fun when you're with her. But when she's out around people, she acts different, completely different. And she tries to be this cool person who doesn't talk to anybody, doesn't acknowledge anybody. And I'm like, why do you act that way? And I'm like, she's like, oh, because I don't know how to act around people. And not only is it that, but I want to seem more important. But I'm like, you're so cool. Like when we're having dinner, just like us, you're cool. You talk and you articulate. But then when you're out, you act like this different persona. And that's like what we were talking about. The reason why people are shallow is because they're trying to be somebody else for everyone to see a different version of them.
Yeah.
But I think being real is like important, because when you're real, Like, you don't, like, people will love you for you as opposed to loving you for that person that
you created. Or you're creating.
And in Miami, it's not just verbally or mentally, it's physically. Like, I see people using Facetune to change their bodies. Yeah. Yeah, and they fall in love with what they look like on this Facetune. Yeah. But then in real life, without this Facetune, they're not them. They look at themselves in the mirror like, I don't look like what I created.
Yeah.
And then that affects them mentally.
Mentally.
Because they're like, I don't look like this, but everybody thinks I look like this and they love me as this, but I'm not this.
Yeah.
And that's like not healthy. So
I used to use a lot of the Instagram filter. I've never used Facetune, but like the filters like on Instagram.
Sometimes they'll edit your face.
Yeah, it can be like your eyes, your nose, make your skin smoother, yeah. You know. And it's all these little things that you start to create this image in your head of yourself. And I think it wasn't until I kind of chopped all my hair off that I kind of stopped using the filters. I don't really use them as much.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt like I was kind of hiding behind my hair a little bit. Not hiding, but just like my hair had to be perfect to like complete my outfit. Yeah. And then once I had very little hair, I'm just like, this is how I look. You know, so I really don't use that many filters anymore.
No, I think.
But then I started like realizing, I'm like, oh, okay, like, yeah, my skin is not smooth. Okay, that's fine. Like, yeah, I have like some freckles. Okay, cool. Okay, yeah, sometimes I have a little bit of like the under eyes, like the back. We're normal. We're human. Yeah. It's totally fine.
I have acquaintances now, because I don't even talk to them, but friends that still act like they did in high school. It's been 10 years, literally 10 years.
Yeah.
I graduated 2014. It's 2024. And they are still acting like they're still going to the Gettys. They're still like doing these same. Yeah, they're still doing the same things. And then they're like, I see that they're going through it. They'll post like things on Instagram, like with quotes, like I can tell that they're not mentally there.
Yeah.
And they're trying to go back to who they were. And I don't even know how to tell these people that you're never going to go back. Like, you can't go back to high school. You have to accept your life now and make it as good and as comforting for yourself, or even make it uncomfortable, but just realize that you're not going to be that person that you were 10 years ago, and then live and live a different season. Because if you stay in that same season, like, you don't ever want to be in the same season of your life for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
Because then you're going to get to 80. You're going to be like, oh, God, I didn't prepare for this.
You're still doing going to Gettys.
Yeah.
Which I haven't heard of that word in forever.
Yeah.
But I think I realize that a lot of people will have a certain year in their life or a certain age that they really enjoyed. And it's one thing, like, you listen to that song and you're like, oh, my God, I feel like I'm 15 again. Or like me and my sister sometimes we'll hear old songs and we're like, oh my God, I feel
nostalgia.
Yeah, like I think I see a lot of people that want to hold on to that. So
well, they're chasing it. Yeah,
yeah, so much, in the sense of like, I'm gonna continue going to Ultra, let's say, because I want to feel like what I did in 2012, you know. Or they're gonna continue to go out and do the same things over and over every weekend, because that one night that they had an amazing time, they want to go back and feel that. Or they want to just feel young, you know, and feel like.
And that's fine if you want to feel young, but when you're chasing it for the wrong reason and then it's affecting your health, why do it? Like, I see these people that, like, I know, and they're chasing that feeling, like, let's go to Ultra, let's go to Coachella.
Yeah.
And feel like we felt in 2014, where it was a vibe, and let's do all these drugs. And then they do it now and they're trying to chase that same feeling, but you're 10 years older.
Yeah. It's like you're in your 30s, your recovery. One, your recovery is not the same.
Not the same.
Two, you have a lot more to risk now that you're older. When you're like 18 years old and you're just like, oh, I'm living life, you know, it's different. Yeah. But I always say, I'm like, you read a book. And you can go back and you can read that book, But guess what? If you continue to reread it, you're still going to have the same ending.
Yep.
It's not going to change, you know? So, and I use that a lot. I tell myself that a lot because, you know, sometimes we think, oh, man, what if I had done this differently? What if I, like, no, that story is, that chapter is written.
Yeah.
The ending is going to stay the same, you know? So I think now that I'm 30, I can say that from when we first met until now, I've changed a lot.
Yeah.
And I, good and bad, for whatever reason, it's I'm happy the person that I'm becoming. I'm still going to be changing. And I hope that I continue to change for the good. So I was doing some research the other day about Coachella. Now that it's happening, this weekend was weekend two. And obviously there's so many like new artists and old artists that are coming back. For example, like No Doubt, Gwen Stefani, the first weekend, she like played and like kind of redid one of her performances. So I thought that was really cool.
But I saw Lana Del Rey.
Yeah, so I saw Lana. Cool. Yeah, with Billie Eilish. How do you say her name?
Billie Eilish.
Yeah, super cute. I love their performance.
But mind you, like, this is what I wanted to tell you. Like, they're all doing songs from like years ago.
Yeah.
And people are living. They want to relive that.
That, yeah.
So it's like same thing with Ultra. Like, I didn't go this year. I had tickets. I sold my tickets. I had artist passes. I sold my artist passes. Why? Because who are we going to go see that we haven't seen already?
Yeah.
They're not doing anything different. And it's like, it sucks because it just shows, it goes to show that like music is not really developing as much and they're not creating new things. Like very few artists are doing new things, but those artists are not going to these festivals. They're throwing their own, like Bad Bunny, he kills it every year, but he doesn't go to these, he does his own thing.
Yeah.
And people go to these things and they're phenomenal. So yeah.
With Coachella, I
have you gone? Ever? No. I want to go because it's a first time thing. Yeah, it's a first time thing.
I've never, but I mean, it would be awesome to go. When 2 weeks ago or before Coachella started, I was looking online and the first Coachella happened in like 1999. And it started with two guys, I don't remember their names, but I think they owned like a advertisement company or marketing company, something along those lines, and they were trying to get new artists out there, trying to get their names out there. So it's funny that you say that, because there are new artists that are performing, but it's a lot of the same with Ultra, the same thing, a lot of the same artists that are already famous instead of focusing on
the
artists,
new card,
the new people, which, well, I'll go back to that, but the crazy to think back when Coachella first started, the tickets were, I think half, like one day was like $50. And then 2 days, I think it was like $90 or $100. It was like super cheap. Now, if you go on the Coachella website, you can do like the camping, you can rent like a villa kind of thing, and they go for like $10,000 a night.
God.
So you can just see like how much it's grown. It went from like one weekend to now two weekends.
But they should make it more accessible for people, like people that want to, like, I feel like they would probably make more money if they sold it for cheaper, but sold more tickets as opposed to making it so, like, I don't think the common American, the average American, has $1,000
for a ticket. Yeah, no.
And it's a lot of money to watch their favorite artist. And I get that it's a lot of artists all in one festival, but like even Ultra, like, God, it's like $450, $500 for just one 3-day ticket. And it's like, God, like my first year of Ultra, I mean, we've been getting free tickets, but my first year of Ultra, I remember paying for them. I only paid like $200 for 3 days.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's changed so much. And I get inflation has something to do with that. But also like, it's just, I saw a lot of my friends, they didn't even go to these festivals for Miami Music Week. They were just like, let's just go to like Space, or even Space was expensive, but they'll go to like, I don't know.
I think right now the big thing is, I think though, like Ultra, I mean, it's still for people that are living here, but people that come all over the world to come, like for us, because it's something that we see every year. It's
and
like
we've done it already.
Ultra or whatever. Yeah. But there's people that travel from all over the world
to come to Ultra.
And they save the whole year they're saving to go and like
come the weekend here. For Ultra, yeah. Like the hotel, the food, everything. I get it. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie to you. Ultra is fun.
Yeah.
I just didn't see myself doing it again this year, because there's nothing that I would do different that I did the year before that one.
Yeah, I've always had a great time when I went.
Yeah.
But it has changed a lot. I remember.
Well, the last time she went, I don't know how she went, but your dog had just recently passed.
Yeah.
And I remember.
I did not have a good time.
You had artist, like we got you artist passes. You came with us. And then I looked to my right and you were like.
I gotta go.
Like crying. I'm like, why? Ugh. I don't know why you even came. Yeah. I think we kind of like forced you. Like, we have to come. We have artist passes. We're going to have fun.
And I felt really bad. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is, you know, not everyone has these type of tickets. Like, maybe this will help, like, distract me. I think I was there for, like, maybe 30 minutes.
30 minutes max. Yeah. And then you're like, I think you were, everybody was like, woo! And you were like, shedding a tear. And I'm like, oh, my God. Steffi, go home, please. You can't be here.
And I never cry. So the fact that I was crying, everyone was like, oh my God, okay, go home.
Yeah.
I look at my fiance, I was like,
we gotta bounce.
I need to go home. He's like, absolutely.
I think we left right after that. We didn't stay that long. We literally, because we don't go like 10 in the morning. I think we got there like at 3 p.m., 2 p.m. And we left at like before, like maybe like 8, before they were going crazy. We left and we walked to your house.
Yeah.
Because Ultra is fun, but I'm getting older. My knees, like
my feet.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the next festival that I do want to kind of enjoy, I want to go to like a country festival.
Yes.
I don't like country that much, but from what I've heard, country festivals are fun. They're different. And I want to try something new. I want to go to like Coachella. I want to go to Coachella because I've never gone. Yeah. But other than that, I want to go to like Tomorrowland. Like, I don't like house that much, but people say Tomorrowland is just different.
Different, yeah. I've never been to Tomorrowland. Yeah. But I've been to Tortuga, and that's fun. That's in country. Fort Lauderdale. Yeah, country concert or festival. It's a whole weekend. And I didn't go this year, and I didn't go last year, but we went 2 years before.
I remember.
And, oh, my God.
It was fun.
It's so much fun. Yeah. They have, like, little, like, interactions, you know, that you can take, like, pictures, and then you're on the beach. So everyone's, like, very, like, chilled. Like, I mean, everyone looks in the bathing suit, like, nice, but it's not like how Ultra is, that everyone's like all glammed up and stuff.
Or like, EDC. Have you seen people that go to EDC?
Exactly, yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah, no, you literally, you go in a bathing suit, some shorts, and you're hanging out all day.
That's pretty cool.
And then you get a tan while you're doing it. Yeah. So, I mean, in Ultra you do too, but whatever clothing you have on, that's the tan you're getting.
Shout out Tortuga if you want to give us some tickets.
We accept. Yeah.
But yeah, that kind of blew my mind that, like, I saw a lot of things. Everybody was talking about Coachella, like, everybody was trying to wear, like, the outfits that people were wearing in 2014 because they want to feel like they're going to Coachella. And I think eventually these festivals are going to catch on, and they're going to try to, like, innovate and do something different, because eventually people are going to, like, get tired of it. It's either they're going to get tired of it or...
I don't know.
Or the new wave of, people are going to go to that. And then maybe that's what it is.
That's
maybe.
What it is. That's exactly what I was going to say.
It's a different age group.
There's a new generation coming that has never experienced Ultra any of this.
Or Coachella, and they're going to go and enjoy it.
Yeah. So I think back in the day, Ultra was like all ages.
Yeah.
And then now, I think it's 18 plus. And over. But those people that are 18 just waiting, they're like, I'm gonna go to Ultra.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And then they've never seen David Guetta, they've never seen Afrojack.
But even the thing is, eventually these DJs are gonna be too, you know, Tiesto is old and he makes amazing, but I remember listening to Tiesto when I was like maybe like 10. I was 10 years old listening to Tiesto. He was doing a dejo of strings.
He's 55.
Yeah. And that's not old, but it's like he's been doing music for 30 years, I think.
David Guetta, 56.
Yeah. So eventually...
Cascade, 53.
To Ultra, 10 years from now, they need to have somebody coming up, because who else is going to play? Like, these guys are... They've been carrying the music industry on their backs for years.
And it could be that there are new... I just don't know. I don't listen to...
Well, they're the headliners. That's the thing. Like, Tiesto was a headliner. Hardwell. Everybody that we just mentioned, they're headliners. So it's like, when are they going to put somebody there that, I mean, I guess it's like because they have a lot of pull and they have a lot of motion, they can bring people. Mm. But eventually they're going to get tired of it. I mean, I would too. I would get 30 years of doing music, like especially like when you're...
And that type of music.
Yeah.
You're like, jumping, you're throwing cake, yeah. you're doing all
But then
all
again,
these
people probably have bills to pay, so yeah. they do it because they also have family and a feed and all that. But I mean, look at like, there's very few artists that take it that far, that get to that point. Yeah. Like,
and I feel like also the new artists, it's hard for them to have concerts here because I would think it's too expensive yeah. and they don't really make... Like to do, it's now called the AAA.
Yeah.
It's called
Kaseya.
The Kaseya that there, like, I saw Giveon a year ago at Oasis, and I would think he did it there because it's too expensive, like to do it at. I yeah. mean, he's not that he's not big, but
it probably doesn't make sense for him to do it. He's probably not gonna make enough money.
Yeah. Or for example,
unless you're charging like Bad Bunny prices, then it makes sense for him to make that much money at the like at the Gaseya whatever AAA. We call it American Airlines for it's still American Airlines.
And then also like Young Miko, same thing. She
That's why a lot of artists don't come. Like I have so many people that I want to watch that don't come to Miami.
Don't yeah.
They'll go to like the closest is Fort Lauderdale.
Last week, Anita yeah. released her like tour. And she isn't coming here. I didn't see Miami. Yeah. I saw Orlando.
Yeah, that's the closest they'll get because I think it's cheap for them to go over there and they'll make money and it'll be cheap because they're also looking out for the fans. They don't want the yeah. fans to pay crazy amount because I remember I bought tickets to go see Fade, the Colombian guy, and his tickets in Orlando were like $95, $100. The same wow. tickets in Miami
$250
were $380.
Oh wow!
So it's like crazy because it's only 4 hours away.
Yeah.
Yeah, by car. So by it's car, like,
yeah.
I get why artists, like I wanted to watch FKJ. He's one of my favorite artists. And he didn't perform. He would never come to Miami. So, yeah. And he has fans in Miami, but it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
The closest he came was like maybe like, I think North Carolina, South Carolina.
Yeah.
He might've gone to Orlando, but yeah, I didn't see him. Like Phoenix, I wanted to watch Phoenix. They don't come down here. Like almost all the artists that like I know that I would really enjoy, they don't come down to Miami because it's just too expensive.
Yeah, unless you're someone that's super big and you're able to
charge crazy prices. Yeah.
We went to random Carlos Vives
mm-hmm.
concert, and we had a great time, but it was packed.
Yeah,
like there was not one empty seat.
Well,
he was 2 hours late, but it was packed.
Miami is, there's a ridiculous amount of Colombians in Miami.
Yeah.
Like there's
insane.
So many Colombians here. It's wild. Like we were at the pool yesterday and I looked around our pool and I'm like, there's like 50% of people here are Colombian.
Are Colombian?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And I would put Colombian music and then they're like, I'm like, oh yeah, they're Colombians.
They're my people.
Yeah. Our friend Simon, he there was a girl like tanning, the one we did the Spartan race with. And the girl tanning, and he goes up to her, and he's like, he was rizzing her. And then he said something about, you're Colombian, and she turned out to be Colombian, but he just guessed.
How funny.
And she was like, yeah, I'm from Medellin. And I'm like, she didn't even look, did she look like she was from Medellin? No, she didn't look like she was from Medellin, but just the odds. You're like, when you're in Miami, you will run into people that are either Colombian, Brazilian, Venezuelan.
Yeah.
I think that's the top. And Cuban. That's the top.
I think Argentinians too.
Yeah, but...
We have a lot of Argentinians.
Yeah.
We
have a lot of everything.
Yeah.
But that goes to say, like, if you're here and you're coming to Miami, learn Spanish.
Like, guys, there's apps.
Duolingo.
We now have the web, the internet.
Yeah. I'm so glad you said that. So I wanted to jump into this. So this is wild. We are part of the generation that, so for instance, our parents, their childhood, they didn't have internet,
mm-hmm.
right? The kids now, like my nephew, he grew up, his childhood is going to be accessing internet. We're part of the generation that half of our childhood, we didn't have internet and the other half we did.
We did, yeah.
So that kind of like segues to like, what was your first like experience with the internet? If you could think mm-hmm. back.
Well, I mean, in school.
Yeah, probably. That was your first time?
Probably, because in the like elementary school, we would have to do like Reading Plus. Reading I don't know plus, if that still exists.
Probably.
So we would have to do that, and there was like another math one that we had to do. And then and socially, Brazilians, we used to have this thing. It was like a Brazilian Facebook that was called Orkuchi. So our friends, my mom had one. So we had one. So that's
so funny.
We had Facebook, but we also had Orkuchi. And then Orkuchi was only Brazilians.
Side note, what do you use Facebook for other than logging into the other apps? Like, do you use, cause so people, so I've started to notice that people only use Facebook. I mean, I'm sorry, Facebook. People only use Facebook for their relatives in other countries.
Oh, okay.
Other than that, you're not, I've heard Facebook Marketplace is wild. Like, you can buy a bunch of things on Facebook. But other than that, nobody really goes on Facebook to post anything from my group of people. Like,
you use Facebook to, like, big milestone stuff. Yeah,
and not even Facebook anymore. It's called Meta, but whatever. Facebook, you use it to, like.
It's not called Facebook anymore.
They call it Meta. He changed the name, just like Twitter is X. But people don't use Facebook only to log into the other apps.
That's how, you know, I use it all the time.
They use it to log into apps or have, like, some type of contact with people in other countries, like their family in other countries.
For me, I think it's, I honestly go every once in a while just to, like, look, but not really. I use it more for, like, the pictures that I have. Yeah. I have so many old pictures in there that
I don't even know when I don't even use Facebook at all. I don't.
Yeah.
But,
like, the other day we were talking about me when I was like 13-14 years old, and I was like, man, I wish I had a picture. And I was like, oh, I have one on Facebook. I went on Facebook and, like, I showed them. But other than that, I don't really post. When I got engaged, I posted that I got engaged. But on my job, it says, like, work at this project or whatever, and that was like
years
2013
ago.
So,
but yeah, that's what I meant by, like, we're part of the, I think we're blessed. Like, our generation is blessed because we grew up
with a bit of both.
Yeah, and because we had, like, the first part of our childhood without any internet, so we were, like,
we had
outside. We were outside. Like, we weren't, like, on our phones. Like, we could, like, I remember having Yu-Gi-Oh! And having, like, Beyblades, going outside and having a bicycle, Ripstick, all types of things that to do outside, and trampolines.
Yeah.
Like, those over-the-ground pools, like, we had a childhood, and now kids are like, it's wild. It's different. It's so different because they're being like, how do you say this? They're being,
it's crazy because they're more advanced because they have so much knowledge and so many things at their fingertips.
Yeah. They're accessible to so much things.
Yeah. So much information compared to, like, before we didn't.
You have to go to the library if you want to find out something.
To find certain things out. And I mean, and then even more with our parents, that MapQuest, you know.
Oh my God, yes. You have to print out the directions. You have to, like, look at the directions on a piece of paper.
Have to make sure everything was, like, that was printed out. You knew exactly, like, if you didn't have a map, you didn't know. Unless you had been there already, you didn't know where you're going.
Oh my God, I remember that.
Yeah. And nowadays,
there was Ask Jeeves. Remember that?
Oh yes, Ask Jeeves.
Google was like, I would use Google, but I would use Ask Jeeves as well.
Yes.
And then there was MySpace. God.
Yeah.
I remember. Oh my God, my MySpace was on fire. I remember
top,
I had
top five,
and I had the songs playing.
That, I learned coding from MySpace and doing my wallpaper, adding in my, like, music, adding in the top five.
That's so cool that we went through that, and now, like, it sucks because my kids are not going to go through that. My kids are not going to be able to, like, figure out that part of the, like, figuring out the World Wide Web. They're just going to have it, and they're just going to ask Siri, hey, what is this?
Or Alexa.
But we didn't have Siri back then. We didn't have Alexa. We didn't have any of that. We just had, like, I remember, like, if you wanted to, like, I don't know, like, how many people live in Colombia, right? I would talk to my friends about it in school. I would have to go back and look in an encyclopedia and then come back and be like, hey, look,
this is
what it is. Not, just Google it, right?
Yeah.
And that's cool. I mean, I think that's just so essential. And that's one of the reasons why I think I told you I want to go back to Colombia, because Colombia is advanced. It's so advanced. There's the same. We have the same internet, same everything. But kids are still outside.
Yeah.
They're still playing soccer. They're still, like, doing regular kid shit. They're not, like, on TikTok, like, their whole day, their whole life. Or they're not so exposed to it. And I like that I like Ron DeSantis, our governor. Mm-hmm. He is, I think I saw recently, he is trying to make it so that these social media companies cannot, we like kids that are over, I think, 15 or 14 cannot have Instagram, can't have TikTok.
Are under.
Underneath that. And I think that's genius because when you're, when you're a kid, I don't think you should be worrying about like
what people are posting or what people,
I think they should be focused on school, or if they don't want to do a school, like I'm all for school, but I told my wife, if my kids tell me, Dad, I want to be an athlete, I want to be a gymnast, I want to be a swimmer, I'm going to go for all four. I'm going to go all, like, I'm going to dedicate everything to that because I know that it's gonna be good for them. And if they tell me I want to be better in school, then we'll focus on school. But I don't want my kids to waste their lives doing something that they're not going to enjoy. Like if they're not like school, then I'll figure out a way to like get them to do what they'll love. Because I think it's so essential for kids to do what they love, and
that's how they succeed.
Yeah, and if they find something that they love and they can do and make money with it, they'll do it.
They'll do it. I think it would be great to put an age limit on social media because it really does affect them.
Oh, and you have a stepson who's like going through like changes because he's old. He's getting older, and now he has a phone. So it's like, I don't know what that's like because I don't have kids. But like, it's probably really scary because now your stepson, basically your son, is like, has access to a lot of information. That is kind of like scary.
And I feel like not only do they have access to information, but it's
they could be influenced.
Influence, yeah, like, or influence in a good way, influence in a bad way. You know, now people attack other people for no reason. Like on social media, they get like how do you say
defensive, or
no, they like hide behind the keyboard and they think because it's an app or it's not like real words and they're not confronting someone, they can just say whatever they want.
Even if it does, that's so true. And
but then I also think in another sense, like, and on the other side, if right now I were to tell my stepson, hey, legally you are not allowed to be on YouTube or games or anything, like I feel like these kids would flip out.
They won't. And they did a study that they said that the study was, they asked I think it was like 10,000 or 1,000 kids these specific questions. So they said that kids and even adults, us, the reason we go on social media is because we have friends that are on social media, right? Yeah. So if you tell these kids you can't have TikTok or you can't have Instagram, the first question these kids were asking in the survey was, okay, you can take it away from me, but do my friends are also going to take it away? Are they going to take it away from them? And they were more,
concerned.
They were more accepting to the fact that they won't have Instagram if their friends don't have Instagram. So like, if I don't have it, they don't have it, then we don't have to worry about it. But if my friends have it and I don't have it, I'm going to feel left out.
Yeah.
So that is the genius of social media. The reason why people need it is because they're going to feel like they're missing out on something.
FOMO.
And we experienced that, not just social media, but I experienced that a lot. Like, I didn't grow up in a very wealthy household. So we didn't have, I didn't have MTV. I had cable. So I was watching Caillou, like Arthur.
Yeah.
Was a football-shaped guy? I forgot his name.
Oh, Hey Arnold.
Hey Arnold. Like, I grew up on cable, and I had friends that have MTV. They actually paid for, like, pay-per-view, and I felt left out at certain times when I would go to school because they were talking about like the music awards or like what's it, the Kids' Choice Awards, and I could never watch that because we couldn't afford Nickelodeon or Disney until like maybe I was like 12, 13. So for like a good time in elementary, I felt that, oh my God, I feel left out because I don't know what the hell they're talking about. So I feel like that's part of the reason why kids think they need that, because I'm assuming Jace, he's probably like, I want to go on YouTube because my friends are on YouTube.
Yeah.
Or I want to go on streaming. I want to Twitch because my friends are doing that. But I'm pretty sure if nobody was doing that, he would just probably just stick to gaming. He wouldn't want to do all that.
Today we were getting ready to go to church and we're about to leave and his friend called. He's like, dude, I'm online. He's like, no, I'm about to leave. But yeah, I think in the end, I mean, obviously the kids nowadays are super involved and into the apps and everything that's online, but they also want to be connected to their friends.
And not to say, I mean, I'm not bashing on video games because I have friends that make money video gaming. Like they literally go on streams and they make money on gaming. And I have friends, my best friend Giovanni, like I grew up with him. He works for a video game company and he makes bread because he's just, he does rigging. So he's the one that designs the characters. And then he helps them, like when you move left and right, he rigs the character to move left and right. So he's in charge of that. And that's pretty cool because it's technology. Like it's, you have to basically adapt. But I think that, to back to my point, I think we're blessed because we got to go through that. And I think that's why we're one of the best generations, honestly, because we didn't, shout out to us. Yeah, we didn't have to like go through what kids are going through now, because a lot of kids are, they're dealing with like social anxiety. They're dealing with depression. They're dealing with anxiety. They're dealing with body dysmorphia. They're dealing with all types of things because they have all this exposure to this information. It's too young.
Too much.
They have exposure to other people's, I guess, ideas and opinions too young. And they have other companies and corporations, what's it called?
Are pushing
agendas. They're pushing their agendas. Like, just think that kids should be worrying about kid stuff and not like what Kim Kardashian is posting or what other people is posting. Like, you shouldn't be so concerned about that because it does cause anxiety. It causes people to be like, kids from an early age to be thinking, oh my God, this person just called me fat. Why would he say that? Yeah. Why would they call me such mean things? I don't even know them.
Or nowadays, it doesn't even need to get to that extent. You just follow people that are always perfect.
Yeah.
Or they claim to be perfect. So you think, okay, for me to be like them, I have to do A, B, and C.
Yeah.
I have to make sure that my nails are like this. My hair is like this. I'm eating this. I'm eating that. And
oh my God, you have listened to this. you don't understand how many times I have thought about doing steroids. You don't know. I'm not joking.
Why?
Because I work so hard. I'm happy. I'm at a point where I'm really happy with my body because I found running and I found like a good place with my diet. But for a long time, I was like, I want to do steroids because I see all these people that fucking, they don't do any work as much as I am. And they're ripped. And they're killing it. They're massive. And then I start realizing that they're dealing with hair loss or they're dealing with like testosterone like influxions, and I'm like, I'm so glad that I'm not dealing with that because I didn't make these choices, right? But I have, because of social media, I have thought about like getting these steroids and taking them because I want to be big. I want to be big. Like, I'll watch this guy, I don't know if you know, I think I showed you his podcast. He does Raw Talk with Sarah Safari.
Yes. Yeah.
How am I blanking on his name? Oh my God, what's his name? Whatever, he's, oh, I love him. He's really nice, he's really cool, but he talked about doing steroids at a very young age, and he's massive now. He's so big. His name is Bradley Martin. Mm-hmm. And I love his podcast, and he looks like such a nice dude. And he was talking about like steroids. He took steroids from a very young age, and sometimes steroids could have like detrimental effects because you start at a young age. And I don't think he's had any effects, but he's spoken about other people that have had like detrimental effects. And imagine if, like, what if I'm prone to have car conditions and I would have taken it when I was feeling like I should have? I could be in a worse place than I am now.
Yeah.
So I can't express to you like how, I mean, I can't stress how much I thought about doing it because I'm like, oh my God, it would make my life easier. Like,
I'm killing myself.
Yeah, as much as I run every I should be more, but I'm like, no. I'm happy with what I am now. Yeah. But it's crazy because kids have these influences, and they'll like, luckily I have like my wife to be like, help me. So I'm like, I didn't make these mistakes. But what if it's a kid that doesn't have
someone
there to be like, hey, you shouldn't do this, and then they'll do it because they think that is the only way to get to achieve their thing. And then they make a terrible mistake. And then it's like some things are undoable. Like,
research.
Yeah, how do we get here? This is so random.
I don't know.
We started with like kids, all this. But another thing, what was your first phone?
My first phone. Oh my God. My first phone was a Nextel.
What the hell is that?
It's the yellow. I don't know if they still have it now, but it was a yellow walkie-talkie kind of looking phone.
Oh my God, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. You know, that was an ugly phone.
Yeah, it was ugly, and my parents, I didn't live near the school, so I lived about like 40 minutes, so my parents would always kind of run late. So they wanted to make sure I was safe, but they didn't want to give me an actual phone.
So that was your first phone?
Yeah, they did it purposely because I could only speak to them or whoever else. If anyone had an Nextel, I could talk to them.
Yeah.
Any other person, I couldn't make phone calls. I couldn't, which now that I think about it, if anything did happen, I can't call 911. Well, I don't think I was able to. I don't know.
That's so funny. My first phone was the Nokia. It was like a brick.
Yes.
And that would never break.
Yeah. I had that one. I think that was once they realized, okay, she needs an actual phone. I think that because then my friends would be like, you have a cell phone. Can I borrow it? And I'm like, does your parents have an Excel? And they would say no. And I'm like, oh, okay, sorry, I can't let you. But you have a phone.
So what was your favorite phone?
My favorite?
Like growing up, because I'm assuming your favorite phone now is iPhone. But back then, like my favorite phone was a BlackBerry.
Yeah.
Like my BlackBerry was on fire. I had BBM. I had all my contacts on my BBM. And it was
remember
just,
the parentheses with the Y?
And I had the one that flips up, and I had the one that little ball.
Yeah.
But I was
my favorite one was the, oh my God, what was it called? It was the...
The Razor?
No, the BlackBerry. The BlackBerry one, but that didn't have the ball. It was like the smooth.
Oh, the little smooth thing. Yeah, yeah, that was
that
nice.
That was my favorite one.
I wish BlackBerry wouldn't gone out of business.
And I will never forget the day that it broke. I was at the spill out. I was like in ninth grade. Someone bumped into me. It hit the bleach, what is it called?
The chair, the stand.
The chair, yeah, the stand. Bounced off of one.
Oh my God, and it
onto
kept going.
The other. And then it hit the concrete floor. And I was like, no.
It's gone.
It's gone. I knew it. As soon as I heard it, I knew it. I was like, it broke for sure.
Yeah.
And then at that point, they didn't make it anymore.
Really?
Yeah. So then I had to get the one with the ball, the regular one.
Oh God. No,
was still fine. I always loved my BlackBerry. But then iPhone started becoming a thing, and then iMessage and all of that, and then I got influenced to get the iPhone.
Yeah. I love iPhone. Shout out to Apple. But I was asking because like I wanted to know like at what age are you gonna give your kids a phone?
It's tough. I mean, I feel like
because my nephew's 3.
It's hard.
And I think he needs a phone by the time he gets to like maybe 15, 16. I don't think he needs a phone. Like
it's hard because
but they have these cool phones where it's just like I think it's not even a phone. It's literally just a GPS that just makes calls to like your mom and your dad, like 3 people, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. We say that now, but then once you have your kid out in school all day long, and like now you don't know if there's a shooter, and like unfortunately there are these things that's that we have wild. To think about. Yeah, that
you say that is crazy because we didn't have to worry about that back then.
Yeah, so because of that, like. I think I would give my kid a phone probably by like 3rd, 4th grade. Because that's when they start going to field trips and stuff.
Oh my God.
You know, and yes, there's chaperones. Yeah. You can also give like an Apple Watch, but I don't know.
I don't know. I don't have any kids now. But for those that have kids, let us know at what age you got your kids their phone or at what age you're going to get your kids their phone. But I think that I'm going to be that type of dad that I'm going to be as cool as possible. But if my kids are going on field trips, I'm following them.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, I'm chaperoning. I'm going to, I don't know. I'm for sure going to like implant like a tracking device on my kids because no one's taking my kids. Like, and if anybody takes my kids, I'm going to find them. Like, you don't understand. Like, I'm like that with everyone in my family, with my nephew, with my niece.
Oh yeah, and now they
even with
parents.
You with like your sister, like I'm like, send me your location, like where are you? I need to make sure nothing happens to you guys.
Yeah, nowadays parents even get like the AirTag, put it in the shoe, sew it into
I have to tell you a story about the AirTag. Oh, God. It's wild. This girl in Miami, I don't know, she went to Walmart and she goes into Walmart, parks her car, goes in, buys her groceries, and then some guy goes up to her and he's like, somebody's towing your car. And she's like, why? And she's like, oh, you parked in the members only area and you have to get your car. He's on the phone with some guy and he's like, yeah, is your car? And he asked for the license plate. The guy gave him the license plate and the girl was like, yeah, that's my car. And she's like, but I'm a member. I don't know what you're talking about. I've never gotten towed. And then turns out the guy doesn't even work there. She was like, the guy was trying to get her to go outside.
Oh, wow.
She doesn't go outside. She ends up buying her groceries, and then she goes up to a manager. The guy tries to guess her number, by the way. The guy's trying to do weird shit, right? Turns out the girl buys her groceries, goes to their manager, like, hey, some guy came up to me telling me about my car getting towed. And he's like, yeah, we don't tow cars here. But this guy that you've been describing, they've been doing like a sex trafficking thing. So then they escort her out to the car, make sure that she's safe. She goes, and then the lady takes out like a scanner to scan, and they found an AirTag on the bottom of her car. And they ripped off the AirTag.
Holy crap.
And the app shows you, like, it showed her AirTag, her personal AirTag, and then she showed like 83 something, something, something. And she's like, this is not me, but it's saying that it's here. And then the guy looked around, they found that the AirTag was under the car. So these people were basically gonna, they wanted, yeah. So they, think about this, they sent this guy in to confirm that the girl, they probably sent this guy to confirm that her car is her, because they asked her for the license plate. They're like, okay, this is a pretty girl. So we know that this pretty girl is connected to this car. We're gonna put an AirTag, wait for her to get in her car, drive away, and we're gonna abduct her at Walmart. So it's like,
I charge my car at Walmart.
AirTags on everybody. I'm gonna put an AirTag on you, on you. Oh, I'm gonna put AirTags on everybody, because ain't nobody taking my family.
That's so
like
scary.
That's wild.
Yeah, and it's not even like Walmart. Just in general, like, you really have to be careful when you're out there and keep an eye out.
And I don't think it was in Miami, but the story I heard, it just blew my mind. And it's scary because we're getting older. We're gonna have kids, and it's, you have a stepson. And your stepson is like, your stepson is fast, so he could run away. But it's like, it's just something you have to think about, because, fuck, like,
it's real life. It's happening all over the world,
but mostly here, because people in my family in Colombia do not deal with. They don't have to worry about somebody going to the school to shoot. They don't have to. They're training teachers now to use weapons. The doors that they're installing in schools are like bulletproof. They're using what's it called? They're installing shields. Like human shield, like not human shield, shields to protect humans from bullets.
From bullets, yeah.
And it's like in Colombia, in Brazil, I don't think they go through these things. I don't think they have to train their teachers how to use guns how to stop a shooter. Like, why are we having to deal with this? And I think it's because I spoke to my friend yesterday and I told him, look, I think we're going through this because we're giving these shooters the time of day. Yeah. Instead of getting these motherfuckers, sending them to prison, and never seeing them again, we get these guys, put them on TV, put them on trial, put them for the world to see, and they get what they want. Yeah. They want the exposure. They want to be on TV. They want everybody to see that they're getting what they want.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you do the opposite, you just
ignore.
Oh, you did this. You're going to prison for the rest of your life. But we're not going to put you on TV. We're not even going to mention your name. You're non-existent.
Yeah.
And then you're going to get beat the hell up in prison. And that's it. That's going to be your life.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's going to be like, oh, I think I want to do this.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be like, oh, this didn't work out for them.
I think also it's hard because a lot of those people are not like mentally 100% there. And I hear over and over like certain cases, and it's like, oh, how did you not know that this person was having such strong mental like issues, or was going through this or going through that? And then you look and it's like, well, actually there was a police report here. There was this here. There was this there. There's like all these evidences and stuff like pointing, showing that it could lead to something, but nothing was done.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to say that it's the government or whatever. But something needs to change, that things shouldn't happen to have things change.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be a shooting. There shouldn't be bomb. There shouldn't be any of these things to have things change.
Yeah, to like actually pay attention to it.
Yeah, to pay attention. Sucks,
because I think we live in a world where there are too many people that are saying, what is it called? Like, too many wolves pretending to be sheep. And so you don't even know what to believe.
The other day I saw on this YouTuber or influencer, I don't know, this lady, she would talk about kids because she had 5 kids, and that's like mostly what her channel was about. Turns out like her perfect mansion, that like beautiful house, like a 8-bedroom house, looked perfect, was actually like a dungeon for these kids.
Oh my goodness.
And then they only found out because one of the kids escaped, went to the rant because none of the houses were nearby each other. He ran to the house and was begging for like food and water, and then was like, my mom is not feeding me.
Oh my God.
So like, but then going back, when I was researching online, there were many people that were calling and making complaints about this woman, and nothing was ever done. Because on her YouTube channel, she would say, like, as punishment, I would not feed my kids dinner or lunch. That would, like, be one of the ways that she would punish her kids. And it's on YouTube, and she never got in trouble.
God.
And then when they went into the house, they saw chains, they saw secret doors. In the basement, all the way downstairs, there was a hidden door with a kitchen and a bathroom. Like,
my God, I'm thinking about, like, when you have somebody like that, do they think that they're doing something wrong? Like, they probably don't. Probably think that this is, I'm doing something right. This is normal. This is how it's supposed to be.
Well, I saw an interview. She was like, oh, you know, I love my kids. Now I see that I was wrong. Or even the recent gypsy thing.
I didn't see that. I don't know what that is.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that her mom was not, like, mentally there. And she had this, I can't remember what it's called, but this disease that she would make her daughter sick and keep making up diseases to have her daughter, like, that was her way of taking care of her.
Oh, God.
So she would say, like, my daughter has this. My daughter has this. My daughter's teeth are falling out. You need to pull all of her teeth out. You need to do that. And really the girl, oh, she can't walk. She didn't walk for years. She was in a wheelchair because her mom told her that. And the reality was the girl had perfect health. Totally fine. But then what happened? The girl got on the internet, somehow met a boy. They decided to get together and they killed the mom. So even though the mom basically tortured her all her whole life, the daughter, Gypsy, went to jail because she killed her mom.
My God.
And she recently just got out.
Wow.
Yeah. And now she's famous. Yeah. So there's so many signs.
But the thing is, there's so much. Like, as a government, how do you even?
Yeah.
How do you?
What do you? What's more, like, how do you determine which one's more, not important, but which one's more urgent to get to?
But that's the thing. Like, so we're talking about this, and I don't even think these are topics in government meetings. I think they're more worried about how they're gonna make money, and that's what sucks. Because if you look at it, you don't even have to be a genius to look at. Just look at how they're funding, who they fund. They don't fund education as much as they fund wars and military. They don't fund the things that are important. So, like,
even the influencer here in Miami that killed her boyfriend.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I saw that.
They look back and there's so many recordings and so many police reports of them fighting domestic violence over and over again. There's so many signs all over. And
I think it's a lot is because of how we're raising our kids. And back in the day, if I did something wrong, my mom was going to whoop my ass.
Yeah.
Now I don't see nobody getting whooped. Because if you get whooped, I'm going to call the cops.
Yeah.
But that's the problem. Like, I don't think in corporal punishment, I don't think it's a good thing. But when my mom hit me, it didn't hurt me. But I didn't want to get hit.
Yeah.
So I think that type of punishment, I think it works. It really does. Because if you have a kid that doesn't respect you or doesn't, I don't know. It's a touchy subject, but I think that it's important to talk about, because now I see kids that they don't respect their parents.
Yeah. I think it's more, not even so much the hitting, because I grew up that way. Like, the amount of sandals that I've gotten smacked with, that, and obviously my mom doesn't remember any of these times.
That's so funny. My mom,
they forget.
They're like, oh, I never hit you. I'm like, you never hit me? You threw a toaster at me.
Yeah.
Like, I remember my mom throwing a toaster. I ran around the house and she didn't know what to fucking throw because she had no sandals. She grabbed a toaster and she threw the toaster. Yeah. And then she blamed me. She's like, that toaster broke. And I'm like, you broke the toaster.
But I feel like it's a discipline thing. Kids need structure. Kids need guidance, you know, and that's the thing. They don't really have that.
Thank you guys for watching episode 2 of Uncommonly Common, and I hope it came out as well as the first one. I'm gonna try my hardest to edit it as well as I possibly can, but we'll be on all platforms: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and I think that's it, right? and RSS. That's where you can get the audio. And remember to just like, subscribe.
Comment,
please. Comment. We love comments. Yeah. And thank you for watching.
Love you guys. See you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. 2 more weeks.